And I want you to hear carefully in the lesson that the women or the men didn't listen to the woman. Does that sound familiar? The women, you'll hear, well, we'll mention it in a second. Here, hear this from Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men, clothed with clothes that gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So this is the first April Fool's Day coinciding with Easter since 1956. How many people were alive in 50? Not me, but some. You don't have to raise your hands. You're part of the old church choir. No, I'm kidding. But you're with us and you're praising God. I'm thinking of my good friend Cecil on Easter. Amen. So I want you to think about how we need to embrace that fact that Lent began on Ash Wednesday with Valentine's Day, all about love, and now it ends on April Fool's Day. It's nice bookends, but I think we need to embrace the fact that it is April Fool's Day. My mom used to love April Fool's Day. I mean, there's, like I said, good pranks and bad pranks. My mother was good at, she would wake us up early in the morning on April Fool's and say, "Oh my goodness, look at all the snow. You definitely don't have school today." And we'd run to the window and it would be like this sunny and nice. Mom, April Fool's. But like I said, Noah said to the kids, the best April Fool's prank ever, was the whole world thought that Jesus would not rise, that he was just dead. Even the disciples who were told that this is what I'm going to do, they didn't have that faith. And then Jesus came out and said, surprise! You know, the stone was rolled away. And I think it's so beautiful that it's in the Bible that the women go and the angels say, the messengers from God, he's not here. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He's not here in the tomb. And they go and tell the men, and they don't listen. They don't believe. And the Bible says clearly, they don't believe what the women said because what they said seems like nonsense. Did you know that was in the Bible? Do you know that when you tell someone that you believe in the resurrection, they can look at you like a fool? And I had a friend for years would say to me, "Why do you believe in the why do you believe in Jesus? That's such a fool. You're, Pastor John, your head's in the clouds. You just believe in things that just can't be true." And I said, "Yeah, come join me in the clouds." Do you know what this person, a few years after that, because they saw how much fun I was having, they actually surrendered and they took that step of faith and became a fool with me. Amen? Amen. So my challenge for you today is to be an April Fool for Jesus. Amen? That means you're going to stand out in the world, just like 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you want to read a chapter about foolish and wise, says 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "The message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but for those who believe, it is the power of God." Now, it might seem like nonsense, but I'm going to ask you to just take a leap of faith and say, I believe. I can't prove it. I do trust the Bible, but I experience something wonderful when I believe in the power of God's love to bring life. Can I hear hallelujah? And the world will look at us, you know, it's happened in our church. We're such a mission-minded, focused church. Take just ASP, for example, Appalachia Service Tribe. We have over 150 people go. Some people look at that as foolish. You raise over $100,000. My brother said this. Not my brother, the preacher, my older brother. He said, can't you just send that $100,000 down there and do so much more? I said, no, it's about relationship with construction on the side. We need to look in the eyes of people as we help them and tell them that Jesus loves them. Now, some people would think you're a fool if you give up a week of vacation and you go down south in the heat of the summer and you sweat all week and you get stung by bees. That's a whole week. I got stung by bees the whole week. They'd say, that's kind of, and not get paid a dime. Doesn't that sound foolish in the eyes of the world? But it's not. Amen, Mike Sams, our lay leader. Ask John Volpe, too. He said, it's the best week. He said, this mission week saved my family, brought us together, and had us focus on Jesus, the resurrected Lord. So I'm just going to rattle off some foolish things that have touched my heart that are so wise. In fact, the first thing that comes to mind is when you think if we were going to create a God, the disciples would not have created a God that washed their feet, because that's foolish. But Jesus calls us to do the same. And so I ask you this morning to think about forgiving somebody. It's foolish in the eyes of the world to let go of the grudge, but just forgive someone and love somebody. But Jesus says, I've forgiven you. You are to forgive others and love others as I've loved you. You know, we went to the IHN shelter this week and we played with kids. Max came and Dylan and Stephanie and Ashley and Nancy, and we played for an hour and a half straight with a number of homeless kids. And I say that was the best hour and a half that I could have spent anywhere. Some people would think it's foolish. In fact, a couple of them needed to be changed. Their diapers were filled with poop and they smelled. And the funny thing is, we actually brought their smell with us back into the car when we drove back to Westboro. We said, we can still smell TJ. But you know, we felt the power of the resurrection reaching out. And we're hosting this week, and so many people have told me how wonderful it has been. You know, where were you when I was homeless and needing care? We met Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, in this shelter. There was a woman there, a mother. Her name's Alyssa, and I gave her a little wooden cross, two pieces of wood. Someone outside of the faith might think that's just foolish, but I said, you're not alone. God loves you. Hang in there. We're here in His name. Have faith. And she just let the tears come. So I ask you to just be foolish in the name of Jesus. I just pray that you can just surrender to acting like a fool. You know, Jesus said you must be like a child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Watch your kids or your grandkids and see how much joy they bring to a situation where we can be so closed-minded and not believe in miracles, not believe in the resurrection. But when you hang around kids, kids will make you believe. Amen? Praise God. I visited someone in jail this week. Where were you when I was in jail and needing visit? I visited this young man, and I had to talk to him through the glass window with a phone. And it was so powerful to see this young person open their heart to the fact that God could forgive them, that God could give them a future and a purpose, God could give them a meaning in their life. I told him, I said, you're alive for a reason. We need you. The world says, forget all these people have made all these mistakes. And Jesus says, no, don't do that. Bring life to them. Bring hope to them. Believe that God changes things from death to life, from hopeless and despair to hope filled with love and grace. Amen? We have to be foolish in the eyes of the Lord. You know, I went to visit Phil Cuniff, who had surgery. He was at the VA hospital in West Roxbury, and I had never been there before, and I walked into the lobby, and all these veterans were there, and I was walking around, and they were getting service, and so I walked around the corner, and three guys on wheelchairs were racing. Woo! And I could say each one of them had lost a limb somewhere along the line, probably in battle. And I said, you guys are having some fun. And they're like, God is good. Now, for me, that tells me that God is alive and well in our world. Amen. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't be alive in Christ. Keep believing, keep hoping, keep struggling through the faith. Never give up. Amen. It's important for us to share the resurrection story in our words, like the women telling the men. Some aren't going to believe it. But they finally did believe when they experienced the resurrected Lord. Next week, the lesson is from the Gospel of John, where doubting Thomas, Jesus looks at him and says, you believe because you see. Blessed are those who do not see, yet believe. That's us. That we can encourage each other and help each other just keep loving and living and trusting that God's good news will bring life. Now, you're about to take communion this morning. And some people, you know, might receive the bread and the cup and think, well, it's just bread and just some grape juice. But I want you to really believe that this is the day that you can finally turn over the burdens that you've been carrying. A lot of people bring things to church and they bring them right home right after. I want you to bring your burdens, your worries, your anxieties. When you come up for communion, bring that part of you that just is holding back, that you're not letting that resurrection power touch that part of your life because you just can't believe in the impossible. Part of us think, well, it's nonsense. But I'm here to tell you, it's not nonsense. It is the way to life, life abundant and eternal. Amen? Amen. So important to encourage each other, because this day's I'm down. And I need encouragement. And you people, I can feel your prayers. Because we're up against it in the world. It is a battle. But we fight this battle by giving ourselves, surrendering. The whole world will tell you, and our sinful nature tells us, be self-centered. Make sure you only take care of yourself. Focus on yourself. And focus on the bad news. Jesus says, lose yourself by giving yourself, or find yourself by losing yourself in my work of mercy and of justice and of peace. Spread my grace out into the world. Sometimes the seeds are going to take root, sometimes not. But trust me, you will find me when you love other people. Amen. The stone was rolled away so that we could, not so Jesus could get out, but we could see in that he's not there. He is risen. But the biggest stone of all is our pride. And that keeps Jesus from getting into our hearts. I ask that you lay it aside. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. There's nothing that you can do. There's no accolades, no trophies, no amount of money in the bank, no nice house will ever be enough to ever bring peace to your soul. Only knowing your sins forgiven, that you have a place in heaven, and that nothing, as the kids sang, are going to steal your joy. Amen? God wants to be in relationship with you. Open your heart and begin the journey of faith right here, right now. I want you to really think as you come up forward. You know, one time I challenged folks, get your smartphones. And everybody during church, I said, now text somebody. Just go through your contacts and just text somebody and say, just text three words, I love you. Everybody did, and I couldn't believe how quick everybody's response, are you okay? But today, can you tell someone that you look them in the eyes and tell them you love them? I bet that it comes back to you and you'll be hugging before you even realize it. Because that's the God part of you that just is drawn out. And this sins you need to forget, let go of. When Jesus said it's finished, it's finished. And this week I want you to remember Martin Luther King Jr. 50 years ago on April 4th, his life was taken. In fact, he gave his life. And he said these beautiful words. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Amen. So let's bow our heads and ask a blessing on the bread and the cup. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless not only this bread and this juice, that it could be your body and blood for us today, but you would bless the souls of people that are lost, that we need you, God. It's hard for us to believe in your word, but we see the effect. Lord, we don't see the wind, but we feel it, as you told Nicodemus. We thank you, God, that the closer we get to you, the happier we are, the more we're filled with purpose and peace. And we need to turn away from sin and back to you. Bless all the kids, because they bring the best out of us. We thank you for homeless children that teach us about living every day to the fullest, and not letting our yesterdays or our tomorrows, our worries, keep us from rejoicing and living with heaven in view, to keep our eyes upon the prize. Lord, all we want to know is you, Lord, and the power of the resurrection. So bless that one soul here today that's struggling and going through a hard time. Let they know they are welcome. You love them. You know where they are. You meet them right where they are, and you love them. Lord, help us all be an April Fool today, that we could believe in the impossible. We could believe in redemption and new life. We could believe in the power of divine love to bring people to a saving relationship with you. We can't get enough of what you have to offer. Bless your people today. Bless this bread and this cup. We lift it to you. We ask you to consecrate it, to make it your body and blood for us today. As we lift to you your prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I just closed my sermon by just saying, why not? Why not? Why not? The ushers are going to, we in the United Methodist Church, I love to say, you are welcome. You don't have to pass a test or know theology or know the Bible. You just have to have an open heart ready to receive. And as you receive today, I hope as you freely receive, I hope you can freely give. As we go forth, there's someone you need to be the face of Jesus for. Amen. And I pray that you know as you grow in faith, it's an opportunity to reach out in faith to those who are hurting. Amen. And I have Jim to help me, but I'd like to welcome Stephanie and Ashley also to come up and help distribute the elements. And to remind folks, it's all gluten-free bread. No one has to worry if you can't partake of gluten products. And it is good bread. We want to fool some people who think it's gluten, but it's all gluten-free, so you don't have to worry about three stations. There's only two. Ushers will usher you forward, take a piece of the bread, and dip it in the cup, and receive forgiveness of sins, new life in Christ. Amen.